So today our theme is all about flags. Flags as objects, but also flags as art. Now, you might not have assumed that a flag could be a work of art, but it indeed is. These are objects that are not only symbolic and have an incredible history behind them, but they're also examples of form and color and shape and line that is all meant to convey a very particular meaning. The reason that today's worship packet is dedicated to flags and to artwork that uses flags and flags as art is because today is Flag Day. June 14th is Flag Day in the United States, and it marks the day when the Second Continental Congress adopted the flag of the United States on June 14th, 1777. Since then, the flag of the United States has gone through 47 different revisions. Most of those revisions have to do with the addition of stars any time a new state is added to the country. Of course, this was something that was revised frequently in the 19th century. However, the flag that we currently have with 50 stars has been the version of our flag that has been the most enduring, which means that it has stayed the same without revision for the longest period of time. And the current version of our flag dates back to when Hawaii was added as the final state to the United States. And in the future, if Puerto Rico or any other territory is granted statehood, our flag will yet again have to go through another revision. The sort of base idea for our current flag actually finds its roots in the flag of the British East India Company, which had red and white stripes similar to our current flag, but in the field of blue, where the stars now are, was the Union Jack, which was representative of Great Britain. And of course, now that the United States is its own independent nation, the Union Jack was then replaced with stars that represented the various states that formed up the United States. There's also many different interpretations of what the different colors on the flag mean, and different groups and different historical figures have given their own renditions of what they think the colors mean. Most notably, President Ronald Reagan had his own ideas about what he thought each color represented, but there's no actual official version of what each color symbolizes. Nonetheless, the flag of the United States is one of the most recognizable images in all of the world. And as such, it is understandable why it is the subject of a lot of artistic representation. Because it's a symbol that we have grown up with, it's a symbol that we know, and it's recognized the world over, then many artists have decided that it ought to hold a special place in the conversation that artwork is supposed to bring to the community. One of the most notable artists to use flags in their art is Jasper Johns, who is a pop artist who came of age in the late 1950s and 1960s. He's actually still alive. He is in his mid to high 90s, and he is one of the most important artists of the pop art movement, because pop art was a reaction to abstract expressionism. After the war, abstract expressionists had the idea that they could create emotion without controlling it. Therefore, Willem de Kooning or Jackson Pollock are great examples of abstract expressionists, because they would just splash paint across a canvas or make a very abstract image, yet still had a lot of emotion to it, but you couldn't point out any discernible objects in the painting. It was emotional, but without controlling exactly what that emotion should be in you. Pop artists reacted against this and decided that they would show a specific image, in Jasper Johns' case, a flag, and then allow you to create your layers of meaning on top of that object, based upon your life experience of what ways you had interacted with that particular object. For example, most notably in the pop art movement, Andy Warhol would paint soup cans, which are something that everyone sees daily in the grocery store, and then would allow you to assign your own meaning to this everyday object that we all share in this world. Jasper Johns actually had a dream of himself painting a flag, and then woke up the next day and decided to turn that dream into reality. So if you take a look at the first page of the Warship Packet, this is one of Jasper Johns' many ways of rendering the flag. It's titled Three Flags, and it plays with the geometry of our flag. It plays with the imagery. It plays with multiplication of what does it look like to make the flag in different sizes and to juxtapose those different sized flags against each other. But then there's another flag that Jasper Johns painted and is very widely known for, and that's the next one that's pictured in the Warship Packet, and it's called Moratorium 1969. Moratorium marches were anti-Vietnam War marches that were in many cities across the United States. Millions of people marched in local moratorium marches, not unlike what is going on today with Black Lives Matter protests and demonstrations in cities and towns, big and small, across the country. A gallerist wanted to raise money for the moratorium movement and for the anti-Vietnam War protests, and Jasper Johns accepted the challenge to create a work of art that could be sold as a print to raise money for this cause. And he was tasked with a very difficult thing, to figure out a visual vocabulary and imagery to capture these feelings of unrest and dissatisfaction with the way that the Nixon administration, instead of winding down the war, as he had promised in his campaign, instead, once elected, increased U.S. involvement in Vietnam. Jasper Johns wanted to convey the outrage with which many people felt regarding a government that they couldn't trust and a country that they were feeling had lost its way. And so Jasper Johns did something very creative. He used a symbol that everyone knows, a symbol of the country, the flag, but he decided to change its colors. The orange is somewhat reminiscent to Agent Orange, often a weapon used in the Vietnam War, and then he changed the colors of the stripes to this black and green to almost make the flag look sick, as sort of a message that the country was sick and that the country needed fixing and needed wholeness and needed reconciliation. Using the flag in this way was a way of using a symbol of the country to protest something that the country was doing. Flags are not only symbols of respect, but they also can be used as symbols of protest, of distress. They can be used to get the attention of those who are in power. That leads me to our next image, which is by Banksy, a British street graffiti artist. And this was spray painted on the outside of a Poundland store in London. A Poundland store is the British equivalent to an American dollar store. Inside, cheap, mass-produced goods are sold for simply £1. This image is protesting the child labor, the sweatshop factories that produced most of the cheap goods that are sold in that store. And as you see, the boy is sewing a Union Jack. He is sewing the symbol of the United Kingdom, showing that a lot of what British consumers purchase has been made at the hands of child labor and unfair and unjust labor practices. He's not disrespecting the Union Jack or the United Kingdom in any way. Rather, he's using the flag to communicate an important issue that is plaguing all of the citizens of a particular nation. If you move onward, flags can be used victoriously as well. In Eugene Delacroix's Liberty Leading the People, you see the French flag hoisted very valiantly forward by liberty, an image of justice, of valor, of success, of the end of oppression, a flag used to herald a new era that has been brought forth. And further down, you'll find that I also included a protest flag from ACT UP in 1989. ACT UP is the famous organization that worked to bring awareness to HIV and AIDS and called out the government on its silence around the issues of all of those who were disenfranchised and dying of HIV and AIDS because of a negligent government. And then as you move forward, you see a beautiful image titled Avenue in the Rain, which is in the permanent collection of the White House, which shows several American flags lining a boulevard in a rainy day, a symbol of hope and promise, and the fact that together we can build a country that we can be proud of. And I find it very appropriate and fitting that a painting such as this one would find its way into the White House collection. So as you can see, I have just touched on a very few of the flags that you can find in contemporary art. But I also chose a very particular scripture to go with this, and that's from Exodus. God spoke the following words. God said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. There's something called Christian nationalism, which in the 21st century has plagued Christianity and is something that's so very dangerous. When we mix love of country with worship, things can become very complicated and very difficult very quickly. Of course, we love the various countries that we are from, but we reserve worship for God only. And in the United States, there is a problem in separating these in many circumstances. There are several people who are very upset anytime they feel a flag is being abused or disrespected. Particularly, they speak up loudly when someone will use a rendition of the U.S. flag in an artwork. But those people are failing to remember that the flag is not the country. The flag is a symbol of it. And as such, we use the symbols of our country in order to help propel it along to make it better. Because that flag doesn't mean anything if the country behind it doesn't protect all of its people. So, on Friday, I had the great privilege of joining with all of the other clergy in La Jolla, from St. James Episcopal Church, from La Jolla United Methodist Church, from La Jolla Lutheran Church, and from La Jolla Presbyterian Church. And we all gathered outside in front of our church and in our patio, and we prayed together for reconciliation and for peace, not only for this community, but for the world. And then we walked together down to the cove, and we marched from there to Wind and Sea Beach to proclaim that Black Lives Matter. And all of us were committed to working with our congregations and working with this community to proclaim that very simple truth. And I'm very proud of this church and the trustees of this church for having voted in affirmation that Black Lives Matter and that we will be putting a sign in front of the church to communicate that to our community, that this church is a safe place for people of color, and that we are committed to always working on this issue, always improving ourselves. None of us are going to get it perfect 100% of the time, but the important part is that we are always a work in progress, and we're always working for a world that is safe for all people and a community where all people can thrive. And that, really, at the end of the day, is our greatest calling. May it be so. Amen.